Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We welcome in the dangerous one. He loves to do it. It's the dangerous one, Darryl Ryder. On the hotline.
You blew out my Achilles!
92.3thefan.com. 92.3thefan. They don't know the reference. They don't know that you are doing an Adam the Bull impression over there.
It's
now they do.
It's close.
That one was bad. The one you did this morning was pretty close. That one was horrible,
yeah,
Chico.
It was.
Chico in for Anthony
Lyman. I hear that Chico impression on the website.
Chico in for Anthony Lyman this morning.
I wasn't focused.
Hello, Darryl. He wasn't. He still isn't. Hello, Darryl.
Good morning, guys.
Darryl, it's wonderful to speak to you. Get some professionalism on the show. Darryl, you saw the stuff that was going on with the owners' meeting over this last week. Where do you think the Browns are at pick 1 and 4 right now? What's your gut telling you, bud?
I think that they have narrowed it down, but I think it's premature to say that they've come to a final conclusion, especially at number one. They'll put their heads together over the next couple of weeks here and, kind of hammer that particular decision out. What John Dorsey's been able to do, though, in free agency and with some of the trades that he's made, is provide himself some flexibility, especially with that fourth pick. He can still trade it. He can basically take his best position player on the board as well. So the Browns find themselves in a great position. And for those that might be a little worried they haven't come to a conclusion on the quarterbacks yet, listen, if you've got just under 4 weeks to get this thing sorted out, so there's plenty of time.
You gave you technically gave an endorsement. I would say it's a little bit lukewarm, a bit of an open-assed hug. But you said Sam Darnold maybe last week. Are you still with Sam Darnold for your pick at number one?
Yeah, I think that's probably where I'm going to end up landing here. I think that he's going to ultimately be the guy they take and the guy they probably should take. When you look at the other three quarterbacks, the injury history, the questions that surround Josh Rosen, Jim Mora's comments about him, caught my attention this week. Josh Allen, no one's really talking about how his collarbone was actually repaired, for as strong as his arm is. I see Brandon Weeden 2.0 in Josh Allen more than I see Carson Wentz 2.0. And then with Baker Mayfield, the only thing there is his size, and that's something you can't change. I think the kid can play, but I don't know that John Dorsey's going to be able to justify taking a guy that's just over 6 feet tall with that first pick.
Brandon Weeden 2.0. Drove right through it. Brandon Weeden 2.0. Yeah. Really, explain that for just a moment, please.
Well, Brandon Weeden, I remember watching him in practice and looked like the Browns drafted the next coming of Joe Montana. And then when the lights went on and the game came, it was, we all know how that movie ended. Josh really looks the part. There's no question about it. You get really excited about it, about his arm, but I'm not sold.
All right.
I mean, Weeden was, when the pressure came, he and that was a knock on him at Oklahoma State. Are you saying you see the same similarities in Josh Allen in terms of ability to face pressure? When I say pressure, I mean, actual blitzes and guys coming at him, pass rush, what have you.
No, I just mean that you get excited with the big arm. Weeden had a big arm too. Sean Kizer had a big arm. I think Kizer though has some upside here, and really it's good that he is out of here. And the pressure of having to play for the Browns and you can now be a backup for a couple of years, I think will benefit him immensely after he got thrown to the Wolves. But yeah, I my whole point is I'm not sold on Josh Allen's big arm. I'm not allowing myself to kind of get caught up in that.
Okay, so you compare that arm to Brandon Whedon?
It's stronger, but, I mean, it's what it reminds me of.
Wow.
Ooh, a little bit of a back and forth between you two. I like it. Business is starting to pick up here, friends. Daryl Ryder joining us here on the show. He says that Sam Darnold's still probably his number one guy. I'd obviously happen to agree with you. When you hear some of the stuff, and I know you alluded to it a little bit here just a second ago, when you hear some of the stuff that Ryan Leaf said yesterday, he speaks from a position of fear. Do you think, though, that maybe Jimmy Haslam was making these decisions or making these trips about his decision with these pro days, also talking to the family going, listen, things are truly different and I have to convince you of that, just to make sure that there is no nerves or trepidation about going to the Cleveland Browns?
Well, what John Dorsey's done a really good job of in these 4 months since he's taken over as GM is resetting the narrative surrounding the Browns, especially within the National Football League. Whatever missteps or ridiculous stupidity that took place before he got here, it's over. I'm in charge. You know, we're back to running this thing the way every other NFL franchise operates. But unfortunately, the only way the national narrative is going to change is if they start winning some football games. So you're still going to get the criticisms from guys like Ryan Leaf and national talk show hosts and all those type of things about, you know, you don't want to go to Cleveland because it's, you know, a graveyard for quarterbacks. And the only way, again, that's going to change is if the Browns start winning some football games. They still make for easy talk show fodder and target practice. That's what 1-31 and 88 wins in 19 seasons does to a franchise. But I think Dorsey has done a real good job, at least around the league, of resetting the narrative and saying, hey, you know, the Browns are coming back. We mean business. We're here to compete. And, this is now a good place for your clients to come work with. I don't know that, you know, the purpose of Jimmy Haslam going on that trip was to do that. I think that every piece of information that they gather at this point on all these quarterbacks is invaluable. Haslam's conversation with Sam Darnold's parents is invaluable. That's just, you know, those opportunities don't always present themselves. So I do think that the Browns have done a really good job here of trying to cultivate as much background information on not only the quarterbacks, but all these draft picks, so they make quality decisions in April.
Daryl, when John Dorsey made the comments at the combine in regards to the number one pick, and I believe the line was, you know, open for business, and he took some criticism with that, which I didn't understand. I feel like he has played this perfectly in terms of, you have the number one pick, you don't need to let anybody know, and to take it a step further, I think he's pretty much leaving everybody in the dark, including those teams that might be looking to move up and the teams right below them. Who knows what the Browns are going to do, right?
Yeah, I mean, I maintain that they've got a better chance of moving out of four than they do of one. They have an opportunity to get the quarterback they want. You stay there, you take the player. He's not doing his job, obviously, if he doesn't try and cultivate some interest in those picks and get his phone to ring, which it has. But, you know, to his credit, he's not been tempted to do anything that I would consider to be foolish, and that is to, you know, trade that number one pick. Now, at number four, he gives himself some flexibility here. For weeks, I really felt that they were going to go corner at that spot, but they went out and signed, you know, three corners in free agency year, so that now all of a sudden does become a pressing need. And now when you look at this football team, while at one they kind of have to address the need of quarterback, but at four and 33 and 35 and you go down the line, he doesn't have to sit there and draft by need. He can just take the best guy and the best fit for the team. And he's got a pretty good pool of players that he's going to be able to pick from at number four. And if a team is desperate enough to move up to four, he's got the flexibility to slide back a spot or two and still not miss out on those players. The key for Dorsey is you can't slide too far back from four, because then all of a sudden you miss out on those, you know, that group of top three or four position players.
Daryl Ryder joining us on the show on the hotline. Daryl, we heard Baker Mayfield, and we heard this from Robert Klunko when he came on the show a couple of weeks ago. He mentioned it. He wrote an article saying that, yeah, Baker Mayfield definitely keeps a list of, I guess, enemies, people who have said things about him that he doesn't like. He likes to keep it as motivation. You think it's a good or a bad thing for Baker Mayfield as a future NFL quarterback?
As a future NFL quarterback, I don't think it's a great thing. I won't say it's a bad thing because it's working for him, but when you get to the NFL and when you start paying attention to every little thing, and he's not the first player to do it, whether it's tweets or what's said on talk shows or what's written in articles online or in newsprint, he's not the first player to do this. There are players throughout the NFL that do it. In fact, they put stuff in their lockers. There are players that have their draft profiles that they hang in their lockers or they keep on them with all the criticisms and the shortcomings allegedly in their games that they use as motivation. But I think playing quarterback in the NFL is obviously it's the most difficult job in professional sports. But, it has worked so far for Baker Mayfield. But wherever he goes, the criticism and the microscope was intense in college. Magnify that tenfold when he gets to the National Football League.
Hey, Daryl, as far as that four spot and where the Browns could go, and let's say we're looking at non-quarterback, best position, best player available, I'm hearing a lot of guys like Minkah Fitzpatrick, some others that have fallen, and that now all of a sudden, because you and I, obviously, big members of the Minkah Fitzpatrick fan club. Do you think that's true, hearing about, is athleticism not really that explosive in drills? Is that a concern? Do you think that the Browns' interest in him has waned a little bit?
Well, here's the thing about when you hear about players falling this time of year. They're not really falling. What's happening is media members are gathering more information. And so they're finding out the real story, in the early processes of the mock drafts in January and February, guys are taking their best guess. And then as they accumulate information, talking to, people around the league and that, then they get a clearer picture of maybe where some of these players fit. So then you get the narrative of, well, guys are now falling down the draft board, when the reality is that's where they've always been. It's just now coming to light that that's where those players have been. I've been on the Minkah bandwagon, no question. I think Denzel Ward would be another excellent pick for the Browns. But I'm leaning more now towards taking Bradley Chubb at four and just adding another dominant pass rusher and run stopper to the front end of the defense. I think that would be a great pick. That's why I say John Dorsey is in such a great position now. He has the flexibility to do what he feels best with the pick rather than being stuck sitting there saying, hey, my secondary needs a ton of help right now, so I've got to take the best corner at that position. He can afford to take Bradley Chubb over another cornerback if he feels that Chubb, which I would say Chubb is a better football player right now when you watch the tape, than maybe one of these corners.
Daryl, thank you very much for the time, buddy. All the best. Have a wonderful Easter holiday.
You too, guys.
The great Daryl Ryder joining us on the show. He said, I want to make this clear, Brandon Whedon 2.0 for Josh Allen.
Wow.
You wanted hot stuff, you got it, buddy. You want an opinion, you got it. Brandon Whedon 2.0, that's a strong, strong statement.
I think being a little bit older, a little more mature has helped me so far.
Now,
hopefully it continues to do so.
Hopefully Josh Allen doesn't keep himself an enemies list here, because that was pretty strong there. I think Josh Allen, I thought the problem with Brandon wasn't always accuracy. I thought he got skittish, and I just thought, well, part of it I guess you put under the umbrella of accuracy because there was poor decisions being made. The skittishness leads into bad accuracy because of the poor decisions being made. So it all kind of rolled downhill for Brandon Whedon. But for Josh Allen, one of the things that people keep bringing up, I'll make this quick, one of the things that people keep bringing up is going to be completion percentage. And they make that comparison with him and Lamar Jackson. And I got a little bit hot and bothered about what Mel Kiper had said with the completion percentage not mentioning or not being a big issue for Josh Allen, but being a big issue for Lamar Jackson. Because honestly, maybe he did it for time. If you're going to use that, then you need to start to use that in the right context. And I'm serious about this. Josh Allen had a vertical offense that pushed down the field like crazy. And I still believe that even when he was asked to dump it off and go underneath, he was still woefully accurate for that. Well, if you're talking about an offense that is supposed to push it downfield where there is a lot of vertical routes, then yeah, your complete percentage is not going to be that great. And if you're talking about Lamar Jackson, which is a lot of slants, a lot of misdirection, a lot of the other things that you can do to use his athleticism to your advantage, if you're talking to me about completion percentage, that's where it is. But you got to explain that first, because you're the one who looks like a boob when you're making that comparison. I think some of the stuff with Josh Allen is basically trumped up here, but I can see why people are excited about him. I can see why scouts are excited about him.
I will say this. Josh Allen, as far as the comparisons to Matthew Stafford, you've seen those, you've heard about those. Matthew Stafford's completion percentage got better. I mean, he had a horrible freshman year, first year at Georgia. It got better each and every year, okay? I don't want to make this to be too big of a deal, but he didn't improve. Josh Allen didn't improve. So that's got to be somewhat of a concern, doesn't it?
It's with the Power 5 stuff, getting ready for this year. Now, some people say, well, again, the coaching's going to be different. I think Craig Bohl's a pretty good coach. Mm-hmm. They weren't known for their success beforehand. Now he's a little longer in the tooth, and they were trying to run a different offense. So I think anybody who takes him is going to be excited about him because they think that he is something that they can mold to fit their needs. And that is why, part of it, I think that he is in that discussion. That there has been a discussion. I still believe whoever told me, I can't say who, but I still think that has been a discussion with him, and I think it does make sense for them.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.